Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, your guide to the gadget universe. Coming up on this week's tour, rivals are aplenty to Apple's iPad, but do any of them measure up? Amazon throws the e-book at Macmillan, then comes crawling back to ask for it again. And Sonic's back in 2D glory, picking up where Sonic 3 left off more than a decade and a half ago. Plus, find out how Chris got on in a pub wearing 3D glasses. All that and more. So, let me introduce my co-hosts, three of them this week. Chris, the lovely Ree Morgan, and the man they call Mr. T3. It is Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Foursome.
Hey.
He wasn't watching
the
TV.
Awesome. Foursome.
Is that the punchline to the thing about how he got in a pub with 3D glasses?
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, that's all he was doing.
Good
was
story.
We'll find out more, though.
Why have you got any hands, Dan?
I've been painting.
Okay,
that's what they all say.
I'm decorating. Yeah, I've got. Luckily, my phone has a little protector on the
screen.
My
carpet's got stains like that on, which weren't down to me painting.
I want to know what your radio looks like. Look, his hands look like a plasterer's radio.
Yes. I've been hard at work all day, and I've torn myself away from putting primer on the new stairs.
Acting like Lawrence Owen Bowen.
I've never heard it called that before. Right, what I've brought you all here for today, what are we doing?
Well, getting back to the script, it's another week, Duncan, and the earth is still spinning. But so is Duncan Bell. What's been sending you into a spin this week?
That was very Bruce Forsyth.
It was a bit.
Well, I'll tell you what's been putting me into a spin this week is this is something I've dwelt on in the past, and we're no doubt dwell upon in the future. But you know how the blogosphere, as we like to call it, the technorati, if you like, one of its big obsessions is that everything must be free and everything should be open source, and anything that isn't free, basically anybody attempting to make any money,
is evil.
Is basically evil. And I think this chap on the BBC, I bought a picture of him, which doesn't work great on the radio, on podcasts, I appreciate.
But we could appreciate it.
He's a guy called Bill Thompson. And he's got like sort of hair, like a kind of minor member of Jethro Tull.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then a kind of white beard. So it looks like his hair is being held on by a white beard.
He looks a bit like that guy who went on a bike with Ewan McGregor.
Yeah.
Charlie
Borman.
He does. Right.
He's a cock, that guy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sorry if you're listening, Charlie.
He seemed quite nice.
I think he's outdone the blog Technorati when he says, 150 years ago, Karl Marx argued that religion was the opium of the people. And there, straight away, you think, well, that's an original quote. Yes, thanks for that. Keeping the masses at bay with a promise of a better world to come. Today, the promised antidote to critical thinking is provided by closed systems, locked down technologies, and wholly owned supply chains.
Oh,
so basically what he's doing is comparing what he's doing there. And this is in response to the Amazon and Apple thing. The Amazon and Macmillan thing.
Mm.
And the fact that the iPad does not run Flash. So basically, those two things are exactly the same as, let's say, the Spanish Inquisition or
the Crusades.
Thousands of years of civilization being, I don't know, run or kept under control, however you want to look at it,
because
I'm not having a go at religion here.
No,
but we're talking about a kind of massive human issue that has lasted for millennia being exactly the same thing as the iPad not running Flash. And I don't know, to me, I mean, Lord knows I've knocked out enough columns that were half-assed, not very well thought through, and loaded with hyperbole in my time, and I don't want to be the first one to cast, I don't want to be the one to cast the first stone. But that does seem like copper-bottomed, ocean-going bollocks of a type that one doesn't often see. So good,
I'd want that on the back of my book. Copper-bottomed, ocean-going bollocks. Duncan Bell, teaching podcast.
There's a Paul quote from him. He says, I will not go gladly into a locked-down world. It's like that poem by that German guy about, oh, first they came for the trade unionists and I didn't protest. He said, I'm standing up for the fascism of Flash not being on the iPad.
He's the little guy.
Yeah.
Stick it to the man.
He's not a particularly little guy.
No, but he has got a beard.
Yes.
Well, thank you for that, Duncan. But on to our top story now, I think. And it is the plethora of iPad rivals. The Apple slate isn't the only touchpad in town. T3's been looking at quite a few of them lately. Ree, you've handled, personally, the Lenovo that Chris has bigged up already.
The Lenovo IdeaPad U1. Yeah, the hybrid. Yeah, it was. I had a quick play with it at CES, and it's a really novel idea. It's a really good. It's not novel, actually. It's quite a good idea, and it seemed to work well. It was pretty basic, and it didn't do
So, when it was in touchpad form?
It runs on Linux when it's in touchpad, and then it has Windows 7 when it's kind of docked, should we say. But,
You've had a play.
Out at sea.
Is that best of both worlds, or is that falling between two stools? I mean, is it too cumbersome?
I would say it's best of both worlds. Mm. If you're not ready to get a tablet and you think you're missing netbook, then it is a worthy alternative.
Does it transition? Well, presumably it can't sort of transition seamlessly between the two. You can't be typing a Word document and then you pull it out and continue.
It's a completely different UI when you have it.
So it's a sort of reboot.
Completely different menu
system. It's
quick
systems. Though. It's
can you get the same files? Presumably, can you?
No,
because when you've got the tablet,
different hard drive.
When you've got the tablet, that's it runs on flash on the tablet, and it's got a hard drive. But then on the tablet,
let me try for a question. I can get a positive answer.
Right. Okay.
Just feels like I'm trying to trash it, but I haven't thought out. I didn't come in with lots of difficult questions.
I'm not working for Lenovo.
Is it a nice colour?
It is a nice... No, but I think the thing is with the tablet, it's small enough for you to carry it around as a netbook. So if you're going to use it for Word, then you'll carry it as a netbook. But if you know you're going to be using it just for watching videos, browsing the internet, then you'll just take
and
the tablet.
Has the tablet bit of it got USB?
Yes. Ah! And an SD card slot. Yeah. So
and a SIM card slot as well.
Does it support Flash?
Yes.
Because the iPad doesn't do any of those things.
No
USB. A lot of people complaining about there's no USB.
I'll double check, but I think it has.
Okay. Yeah, I don't really... Well, I do understand that point of view, but surely, I mean, obviously the idea is that it's all meant... It's like the Air thing.
Well,
it's even more, isn't it? It's like you must do everything wirelessly.
Yeah, but it does restrict your peripherals to being Apple-orientated.
Nobody likes their peripherals restricted. Well, I suppose the dock connector, obviously, there'll be USB adapters for that, will there, presumably?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to think someone's fashioning that up.
On the keyboard presumably attaches by Bluetooth, so that wouldn't.
Yeah, it wouldn't.
The keyboard is a dock.
Yeah, it's
dock is
it's via a dock.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's how much attention I've been paying to the.
There we go. Okay, so that's the Lenovo. What else is knocking around rival wise?
We had a glimpse of the HP tablet running Windows 7.
Is this one? This is
how
the HP Slate.
Well, literally
are they calling it the Slate?
He had it on stage. Steve Ballmer had it on stage when I went to the keynote.
Yeah.
That much.
So, from your second
glance, Steve Ballmer hold up the thing, going, "This is really nice. It's running Windows 7." That was
And then it was another Microsoft.
Must be Ace.
This is the kind of privileged access you only get with the T3 podcast.
Hey, there was thousands of people trying to get into that keynote. I was privileged to be
there. You were present in the room.
She was there. From your glimpse, did it look sexy?
Yeah, it did look good. It's questionable whether Windows 7 is going to apply to touchscreen.
HP aren't really a sexy company, though, are they? You know?
Poulet Cacard, isn't it? That's what they're... We had this massive falling out with Packard Bell once because we ended a review with the phrase, Cacard Bell... cocked up that joke. Packard Bell, more like Cacard Smell.
That's terrible.
Well, it's not that grown up, is it? You know, they were most upset by that.
That's as bad as that. Who called you Duncan Bellend?
How'd you like it, Dunk?
Yeah. How'd you like them apples?
Well, I didn't sit down and threaten to withdraw all my advertising from that guy.
What else? Well, there's Arcos's.
Yes, we did. We've had a look at Arcos.
What was the really cheapy one? The one that's almost like other manufacturers are going to use it. That's killed that conversation. Somebody had a tablet that was going to retail for like $200.
Sony Dash.
CS. No. It was made by some company I'd never heard of.
I think nobody else here has heard of it either, so that was a bit of a waste.
Moving on.
Well, more excitingly then, rescuing this. What about...
Think about that, $200.
Yay, well, great.
It's something that we don't know what it is.
Google Chrome was showing off a touch UI, which some suggest points the way to Google getting in on the act. The video doesn't show that much, really, does it? It's just sort of two silhouette hands playing around with lots of windows on what looks like a rather large tablet, I have to say. But the blog suggests something like between 5 and 10 inches.
Is that still enough to excite people? I don't know. Because, I mean, everybody's now... The first time that you saw somebody doing a touchscreen, you know, kind of all moving things around, summoning up menus. Big, now small.
Which is, in fact, you've just...
Like
that basically is what that video is.
But you've basically described the video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot like Microsoft Surface, really.
Yeah,
I suppose go on. No, after you, Reed. No, please.
But it could be them, you know, playing the game of kind of toying with us, of kind of, look, you know, we've got something touchscreen, so look out for this isn't what it's going to be.
But. They're putting it out there that they are coming up with some sort of tablet, presumably.
Yeah.
You know, so... As in, don't go and buy that Apple iPad because you know what? Something's just around the corner, folks.
It's worth a try, I suppose. I mean, because that's what Apple has traded on for years, isn't it? Because there's been tablet PCs for yonks.
Yeah.
But as soon as it became apparent that Apple was launching one, everybody was like, "Oh, what are they going to do with it? How are they going to twist the template and make it brilliant?" And then it actually came out, and it was like, "Oh, it's crap."
But
I don't know if Google have quite that. I don't think people have quite the same respect. Bordering on religious fanaticism for Google, that they're going to think, "Oh, what are Google going to do?" They're just going to be like, "Yeah, Google will do one, and it'll be nice."
You say that, but if you look at a lot of the reaction online, there are people, you know, sort of seriously excited by this little video. Which, honestly, go and watch it. It's on the T3. It's on T3.com. It's not that exciting, but people are really excited about it, which suggests to me that there are.
Well, shoot down my argument.
Well, I think there are Google Android fanboys out there who are desperately waiting for the answer to Apple's iPad from Google.
Android fanboys. It's terrifying.
It's a worry.
Like the Terminator in unfashionable trousers. Maybe that's because people are so disappointed by the iPad. So, yeah, maybe the Google, maybe. Prospect of Google one, that's the second coming. Yeah.
And they're both coming out more head-to-head, aren't they?
Yeah, it's pretty much a game of one-upmanship between the two of them at the moment. Kicking each other's ass whenever they can. So.
Interesting.
Who can swear at the other the most? What did Steve Jobs say? Didn't he say they were bullshit, I believe? Or he said, their don't do evil thing was bullshit.
Well, I think he might have some leg to stand on there. Acer has ruled itself out, saying it wants to concentrate on... I know. But you know, at a time when everyone seems to be leaping onto this bandwagon, Acer's just stood up and said, you know what... we're not interested. We want to focus on.
Well, that's it for me. That's it. That's game over. The whole tabloid dream.
I mean,
just died with that announcement.
Tabloid.
But are we?
Did I say tabloid again?
Yeah,
what is the matter with me?
Yeah.
I didn't even.
It's a tabloid.
I did have one pint at lunch.
Oh no! It's Drunken Duncan. He's back.
They fragged the tank.
But you know, Apple is suggesting this is a whole new category, you know, and so that means everyone's going to get in the act. But maybe Acer have called this. Maybe they're saying, look, you know what? Basically, their president has said Apple's built its business out of carving its own niche, which means that while Apple could see success with devices like the iPad, other players are unlikely to be able to replicate this result. So basically, what he's saying is, look, this is a niche Apple product. It's very cool for Apple people. This is what Apple do. But it's not a whole new category. This is not a new genre. This is just a little niche product that Apple can do.
That's fair enough, I think.
Well, that's been an interesting thing about the kind of, I don't know, almost like backlash against the backlash to the iPad, which is people saying, oh, you've completely misunderstood. It is a new product because, I don't know, they're almost saying it is because it doesn't have multitasking, say, for instance, or because it's actually more like a big phone. That is why it's a different category. And the reason that people are disappointed is because they've simply misunderstood.
So what, the restrictions are what make it unique?
The restrictions are what make it good because it's aimed at people who don't want... Well, this is kind of what we said last week, actually, who don't want a computer that can do loads of things. Mm. They want a very simple computer that can do, like, three things very nicely.
Okay.
Well, it's a school of thoughts, you know.
It's an ethos.
It is an ethos.
Doesn't seem like Apple's ethos, though, does it?
It doesn't really, but then Apple are shrewd people.
We'll see, won't we?
Well, we'll leave it there. We'll see how things go. There is plenty more to get through. So, let me say, here is the news. Yes, Amazon has got itself in a pickle with publishing giant Macmillan after chucking all its ebooks off its virtual shelves for costing too much. It's now relented and put them all back. Wouldn't have anything to do with the fact Apple said it's happy to sell them for full price, would it?
Meanwhile, rumours are that Amazon may be biting back at Apple after having its ebook thunder stolen by the iPad. Amazon now said to be looking at upping the specs on its Kindle to include a touchscreen.
Very Sony. A business phone that's also eco-friendly. What will those crazy Swedes think of next? The Sony Ericsson Aspen is a Windows mobile phone with a BlackBerry-style keyboard.
But it's also part of Sony Ericsson's Green Heart range, so expect energy-saving charging and a host of power-saving options to offset all those carbon-hungry business trips. How thoughtful of them.
Yes, 16 years after Sonic 3, everyone's favourite blue hedgehog is back in 2D form for Sonic 4 Episode 1.
Returning to the chronology of the original series, it'll be available for download this summer on Xbox 360, PS3 and Wii. Further episodes will be ready later in the year.
Good ending.
Delayed bong.
Tight. Tight, tight, tight. That's what we are.
Okay news.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Green Heart. Okay. That's yeah. what Sony Ericsson's
what
eco
that?
That's, their eco range.
I feel nauseous.
I know.
Yeah.
gotta love a bit of...
What's the right... Why don't they rename all their other ranges, like the Planet Shag-O-Matic? Or, what is the point of having one range of green phones? Ridiculous.
Well, there you go. That's Duncan Bell's take on that.
Take note, Sony Ericsson. Planet Shag-O-Matic.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, it is time to find out what you have been tweeting.
Yes, what have you been tweeting?
Duncan,
always
what have you got?
One of my favourite bits.
Yeah.
AG112, that's a good name, isn't it? Yeah. He says, hi guys. First, thanks for the weekly podcast. It's awesome as always. Also, can you suggest a free set box? I don't know what one to get.
I've left you some notes there, Duncan, or I can answer this for you.
No, I can answer this, because, well, I was going to say get the Humax one, but I noticed you've also recommended the Panasonic 800 quid? Yeah, why are you recommending that for?
Look, no. I've recommended, I've recommended three. Okay. First up, the DMR BS850.
Yeah.
I say it is £800, but it's a Blu-ray recorder and a kind of media hub, all sorts of things.
I wouldn't get that.
It's
awesome. Panasonic stuff is great, but 800 quid, forget that.
Yeah, but it does so much.
Ugh.
Okay, well, or 250 quid, you can get the Humax.
I'd go for the Humax because the Humax menu and interface used to be a kind of running joke in the tech world, but they've tarted it up.
They have.
And it now is verging on acceptable.
It is.
It no longer makes you want to go and kill whoever is responsible for putting together the remote control.
However, AG112, you may want to hold off.
That's Mr. 112
to
you,
because the Humax Foxsat HDR 2 is coming out, and that will have iPlayer.
Slightly
and
more capacity.
It'll have more capacity, 320 gig up to 500 gig. But it'll also have ITV player and iPlayer built in, which is rather nice.
The current one has iPlayer built in.
And ITV
player. It's a beta at the moment, but it is included.
Oh, so, okay. So, all right, if you want higher capacity, hold off.
That was a split answer.
Did you follow any of that, AJ112? Well, we're basically
saying,
get the Humax.
Go for the Humax. Or if you want some uber box under your telly, go for the Panasonic, which is awesome.
But an interesting thing about the Panasonic is you cannot burn ITV HD shows to Blu-ray.
It's all copy
because of
protected.
Copy protection.
Yeah,
so
yeah, that's always going to be a problem.
Think on.
Ree, you have a tweet.
I've got a tweet from Joanna Butler. She's been following Chris's 3D pub TV watching antics.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, can't see many footy fans donning glasses. I would, but I like the novelty for a short while anyway.
Yeah.
It would reduce the number of fights, football-related fights,
possibly,
in pubs, because
yeah,
you're not supposed to hit a man who's wearing glasses. Which is what I've... that's why I'm alive now.
Go on.
And, yeah, so maybe that's Sky have hit on something there.
Is that like street rules? Don't hit a man with glasses.
Yeah, you can't hit a man with glasses.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
the only fight I ever got involved in, I took off my glasses before rolling up my sleeves.
Wait a second,
you idiot!
And placing and placing my jacket on a bar stool.
Yeah. Did you get out your neckerchief?
Did you produce one glove and slap the guy in the face of it as well?
Hold on. Let's hear about the fight.
I was
doing
it to protect Chris, not this Chris, another Chris who you have met.
And
you will know that he's not a built guy, you know.
And he wears glasses.
There's not a lot of him, you know. So someone started, as I think is the expression, on him, and I stepped in, and you know.
I bet you pummeled the guy.
No, it was one of those very male fights. You see, women, when they fight, they really go at it, don't they? They want to hurt. They don't care what happens to them. They just want to hurt the other person, and it's brutal.
Mm.
Men, when they fight, unless they're tanked off, they're completely tanked up, then
this is dynamite stuff.
Dan's guide to fighting. They do that kind of, you know, aggressive pushing, but no one actually wants to throw a punch.
They don't
because
want to
then,
actually have a fight. Yeah. They want to give the appearance
of
their...
just, you know, provide.
You start. No,
so,
you start.
So
no,
we
you
just
start.
We just did that aggressive pushing thing, and then he bogged off.
You won, though, Dan, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you're the moral victor.
I think so. Anyway, Chopper602, otherwise known as Tim Robson from Teesside, I used to live on Teesside. Very nice place. Very nice part of the world.
Chopper 602 sounds like a man who knows a bit about the fighting. Perhaps he could text him with his fighting tips.
I bet he likes Parmos as well. Anyway, he says, Bluetooth 3, what is it? Your article mentions it, but doesn't explain it. This is in response to the first phone to boast Bluetooth 3 being spotted, the Samsung GTS8500. Well, Tim, basically, it just speeds things up.
It's just
quicker. It's just higher capacity. It's just higher capacity Bluetooth. That's all it is. It goes up from 3 megabits per second to 24.
I think Mr. Chopper, and notwithstanding his ability to do fighting, perhaps could have worked that out for himself if he'd sat down.
I'm sure he could have Googled it, but, you know. It was nice of him to ask.
Nice of him to ask.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, go and have a Parmo and ponder Bluetooth 4.
I bet nobody tuning into this podcast when it started knew that they were going to find out what you do in the event of a fight.
Yep.
Or...
Not just me, all men.
Well, all men.
All men.
We've learned all universal men. Truths today. We've talked about religion, fighting,
Colin and Doug.
Tabloids.
Now you two.
You've got glasses on.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway... The latest T3 is out. What can we look forward to, Duncan? Tell me.
What can we look forward to? Well, I've completely failed to bring a copy of it with me, haven't I? Yeah,
well, having produced it, I imagine you've got a fair idea of its contents, have you?
Nope.
Good.
There's a very good thing about custom kit.
Ah.
People often come up to me in the streets and say to me, Duncan, how can I get kit that reflects my personality better?
Right.
And
is this just
I'm afraid I can't help you. But now I can because we've got various bits of custom kit.
This goes beyond what? Sticking a sticker on your laptop, does it?
No, it's like various companies who will customize.
Oh, okay.
So HTC, I was fascinated to discover, do a phone that you can choose your own skin for, including you can send in a photograph, so you can have a picture of yourself.
Yep.
Actually is on the back of the phone.
That's ancient.
The tattoo, I was writing about that. In fact, I did a feature for What Mobile Magazine in about 1999 on that.
I found it very interesting.
You could do it with a Nokia.
Anyway, there's lots of other interesting stuff. I advise you to go out and buy at least 3 copies now.
Okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
The stuff about the iPad competitors.
Yeah, we got all that.
Yeah, better than we did it.
And there's the CES Vegas feature, which Chris and I have been sketched in Fear and Loathing style.
Wait, so you're sketched in?
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah, but you were there for
LG. Yeah, but you didn't write a column for it. Yes, that's it. Sorry. As well as the custom kit that's been around for years, we've got a complete roundup of all the most exciting tech for the coming year from CES.
Right. Okay.
I forgot about that bit. That's I just remembered having my own face on the back of a phone. That
probably was, the main bit.
Yeah. Isn't there like 16 pages on the Nexus One or something as well?
Yeah, there's a lot on the Nexus One as well, yeah.
All right. Check it, yo.
Yeah. Okay. As promised. Oh, no. No. Let me go back. Because, Ree.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Ree, what is your gadget of the week?
This week I've got the LG InTouch Max.
Right. Ooh.
Android
which slides
phone.
Open to reveal a QWERTY keypad.
Yeah, so it is LG's budget offering to Android. So don't expect any Hero Action or Moisture Milestone or Google Nexus.
Okay.
So it's kind of comes in at budget. It's a bit like a smaller G1. Mm. So think of it as a small G1.
It is
G1 Mini.
Yeah, it is a nice...
What type of touchscreen has it got?
It's resistive. Mm-hmm. So it's a bit slow and it's a bit annoying.
What version of
1.5
Android.
It's 1.5.
What's that one called?
Cupcake. I think it's called
cupcake.
No, it's not called
no.
Vanilla. It's called
no.
Vanilla. It
1.5
is
cupcake.
No,
I think it is cupcake.
Jaffa.
Shut up.
Jaffa. Well, it's the first one.
How budget is this? Because LG have done pretty good on budget touchscreen phones, not Android ones. Mm. So this
is
their first budget Android.
Think of it like
Android
the Android the LG Pop that they brought out. So that's the Android equivalent of the LG Pop. So you could do everything you expect to do on an Android. You have got that horrible marketplace interface that you have on 1.5, and the camera's a bit laggy.
It's LG's first Android phone.
Yes.
I think this might well be, yeah. Yeah.
It is.
So, okay. So how cheap is it, though?
It is £20 a month.
All right. But can you get it on pay-as-you-go?
You can't get it on pay-as-you-go.
That's really annoying. I mean, I was hoping that Android should be on pay-as-you-go. They need to, you know...
You'd probably be able to get it through Amazon.
It depends how much you use the internet on it. I'd use the internet on it a lot, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, but you know, T-Mobile now do you know you get free internet with your top ups and all that sort of thing. So
what would you say was the killer feature of this phone? Just
probably
the price.
Yeah.
It's got is that camera got a flash there? I can see.
Yeah, it's got a single flash, 5 megapixel. Oh,
that is so needed. The camera on this here on the Hero is chronic,
terrible,
awful.
And then the interface is the 1.5 software, which is a bit annoying to use.
Okay, but it's nice and cheap, and it's not bad looking.
It's all right. It's a smaller Android. It's got a 3.5, which the G1 doesn't have, annoyingly. But yeah, if you're looking for a budget Android, then you won't go far wrong with that. And if you like, it's also got, if anyone out there actually likes the S-Class UI that you get on other LG phones, then you can actually change it from the Android to the S-Class UI. Right.
There's no one on earth who's going to do that, really.
Well, just in case, you know. Okay.
S-Class, indeed.
Lovely. All right. Review of that coming on T3.com?
It is already up. Oh, we've brilliant. Given it 4 stars, actually.
Oh, that's quite... Well, that is good.
Yeah.
That is good in these new credit crunch rating times.
Yeah. Well, we gave the Tattoo a 4-star, and we thought, well, this
it's pretty much along
is pretty much on par with the HTC.
It'd be nice to see it on Persia Go, though. I'm sure someone will whack it on there soon. Anyway, as promised, let's go to Chris to talk 3D footy.
Yeah, last week Sky broadcast the first ever 3D sporting event in Europe.
Yeah, we mentioned it in the news, and you were there.
Yeah, I was there. I don't think it helped my cause that I went to see Avatar the night before.
Right.
But I wasn't that impressed with it, to be honest. It really didn't grab me at all. I mean,
seeing Wayne Rooney running at you didn't have quite the same cachet.
What was it like?
Just scared the living daylights out of me.
Did it feel like the players were
no,
running towards you?
Not at all. There were two or three occasions where I thought this was good. Sky Sports graphics were amazing. Like, there's this bit at the start where Rooney like blasts through the screen with a ball and everything, and it comes at you, and it's
so
fantastic.
The set piece that they'd worked out before
and all of that. Yeah. And in terms of the actual game footage, to be honest, it was in a long, thin kind of bar. Mm-hmm. We were 20, 30 feet away from the telly, which was only about 46 inches, but too far to really get a good kind of grip on what was actually going on. It just looked like 2D footy, really, with a little bit more added perspective. But the times when it looked good was like close-ups and action replays and things like that. So if they showed Andrei Arshavin curling the ball around the post from the edge of the box, and the view was from behind the goal, now the goal stood out really well, and as the ball came past the goal, it kind of skipped past it as you would see it if you were looking with your own eyes. That was fantastic. But other than that,
That's almost like the one view where you get a genuine sense of perspective anyway, though, because generally they'll shoot from the side or slightly above.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're not kind of... maybe they'll have to look
have
at
to
different ways of actually shooting
exactly.
The match.
Exactly. I mean, that's what
they Yeah, they've got to work a lot out, haven't they?
Yeah.
But I also think... I think the 3D cameras, as it were, I don't think they cover every angle, every shot that they're showing. So you may find that a lot of what you were watching possibly wasn't even 3D anyway.
Okay. Well, I think Duncan's right to make it work. They've got to kind of reinvent the way that they shoot football matches because
which I suppose this is what it was all about, wasn't it?
Yeah, trial it and trial and error and everything. But
cameras on players' heads. That would be
that'd be amazing to watch.
That'd be pretty good.
I mean, like you got
just putting that idea out there.
You've got to doff your cap to Sky, really, haven't you? Because there's no one else out there in this country who's doing anything like that.
Yeah.
Or you know, they're constantly
they're
through barriers.
Them,
fair play to them, but there's a lot of work to go. Yeah.
Okay. What about the experience? Because it seems to me that 3D is also fundamentally unsuited to communal viewing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We spoke to some of the punters in there during the game, and everyone was kind of like, "Yeah, it's all right, but I'd love to, you know, I'd love to have this on my sofa." And it's just like
they would
me in front of my TV
on the sofa.
Yeah, well, just like you know, to be able to watch it from there.
I suppose 46 inches in a pub, it's not that's you're not talking big. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people got that in their living room. Now,
it really wasn't big enough.
Yeah. Did you feel a bit silly with the glasses on?
No, not at all, because everyone had them on. I don't.
It's like if everyone in the room's naked. You know.
were they all naked?
No,
couldn't tell because the glasses.
But like. I've never really. I'm not bothered about wearing the glasses at all. No one there really seemed to be bothered about wearing the glasses. It was just kind of. I just wanted it to be better than it was. But like I say, I saw Avatar the night before, and there's a long way to go. So I'm not going to write it off
yet. It was like a first run.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
okay.
Fair play to Sky, really, and hope they can improve it over time.
Well, we'll see if they do. I mean, they're talking about April, aren't they, for actually launching?
Yeah. They've got the whole channel. So
they put their balls on the line because I mean, I thought for a while they were going to keep on hedging it a bit and going, oh, well, it's coming this year. And it's good. But now it's definitely April. Yeah. There it is. Yeah. It's got to be there. So they've got to deliver something.
I mean, at half-time,
interesting to see what it is.
They showed a promo video of some of the 3D stuff, and like tennis, golf, boxing. It all looked...
Sounds like the Wii.
It just looked absolutely amazing. It looked fantastic, but obviously those are specially selected shots that showcase it in the best possible light, and it's just finding that balance between that.
But
and
hey, you know, I mean,
you don't want to be blown away absolutely for the entire duration of a match, though. Do you? I mean, that's the thing about 3D is it's
if it was just the replays, even that were, you know, that they could really nail. You know,
put your glasses on now.
Yeah, and they go right. Well, let's go to the 3D replay. You know, almost like because when you have you watch football and then they show you the kind of weird alternative angles for the replay. That would kind of work for
me. Like something similar to like Hawkeye in cricket.
Yeah, yeah.
So you'd have like that when you do the replays.
Actually, Hawkeye in 3D.
Well, cricket in 3D. Actually, now you come to mention it, it could be. But I think that's the thing. I mean, people have to get used to the idea also that 3D isn't a constant bombardment of things coming directly at the camera, and it can be much more subtle than that.
I thought it was. So, there was like some close-up shots of the players. You could they actually looked indented rather than embossed in the screen, so they were actually in their natural position. You could see the pitch coming out more than you could see the player. Do you know what I mean? They were further back, and that's probably more realistic than them diving at you all the time. Because
So some work to go, but
good start. Yeah, good start. Good start.
All right. Thanks, Chris. That is about it for this week. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. The new T3 is on the shelves with just about all the CS content you could possibly want. And you could find us every Friday on iTunes. Till next week, then, I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 podcast.